Just jumping right into this message because it is a little lengthy today. I'm giving you a warning, all right? I'm not going to lie to you. It's a little bit long, but actually what we're talking about has to deal with time. And I really believe that one of the things that we are struggling with in our society more than anything else is we are way, way, way too busy. Anybody agree with that? Okay, five of you. All right, God bless all five of you. Anybody else agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Right? I mean, I want to ask you some questions. I wonder how many of you guys would say, Chad, I would love to have a little bit more time, maybe for myself to rest or to do something that I really enjoy. Raise your hand if that's you. Just be honest. Don't think you're being selfish. I want you to be honest today. All right, here's the next question. How many of you would say, I'd love to have more time to spend time with the people that I really love? Raise your hand. All right, we all should raise our hand on that one, right? I mean, if not, then wives, you need to elbow your husband and say, get your priorities in line, right? I mean, that's what you need to do. How many of you guys would say, you know what, Chad, I really don't spend enough time with God, and I'd love to be able to spend more time with Him on a daily basis than what I do? Raise your hand. Man, I'm telling you, that should be the passion and zeal for a lot of us today. And the reason I believe that hands are going up all over this place, in this service especially, is because we live in a culture that's pushing us to the limits. I really believe that. We buy more, we do more, we accomplish more. It's always more, 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 more. Most of us are living at an unsustainable, and really, if you want me to be truthful about it, an unbiblical pace. I mean, it's an unbiblical pace. It is insane what normal is in today's culture. Somebody ask you if they were to walk up to you on the sidewalk and say, hey, are you really enjoying your life? Most of us would say no, and guess what? We really don't have enough time to talk about it, right? Or I don't want to talk about it because I don't have enough time. Or I don't want to talk about it because I've got to do something else. See, virtually everybody I know has very little error or little margin of what we've been talking about, or they're not staying within the boundaries of their schedules of what they should be about in their life. And they're really not managing their time in the way that they should be. See, we've been talking a little bit about, in the last couple of weeks, this idea of margin. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary, right? Margin is basically the distance between what you have and what you need. So let's just say this. If I've got 20 minutes to get somewhere, and it takes 10 minutes to get there, how much time margin do I have? 10 minutes, right? I mean, it's not real hard. I know we graduated from Graves County like Simpsonia, some of us, but that's not real hard math, right? I mean, like, if I tell you you've got 30 minutes and you've got 20 minutes to get from one point to another point, that's how long it takes you, then basically you've got 10 minutes of margin. You say, Chad, how does margin play out in everyday life? I'm glad you asked. Margin gives us the emotional capacity to be able to deal with problems when they come our way. When your kid walks in the door and they drop a bomb on you, if you've got some time margin, you've got some scheduling margin, you've got some margin in your life, you don't fall all to pieces and you're not so overwhelmed, right? Margin would be showing up maybe 5 or 10 minutes early to a meeting so you're not stressed out. Margin would be having enough time to help somebody in need without wigging out. Margin would be having enough time to be interrupted and to be okay about it. Margin would be having enough time to rest and relax and to reflect upon the things that God is doing. Margin is having enough time to be with the people that you love, right? Margin is having plenty of quality of time with the creator and the sustainer of the universe. And I'm not talking about some quick little prayer. God, thank you for this food. Help me through this day. And boom, you go on. I'm talking about some intimate time where you meditate upon his word and when you enjoy his presence. Simply put today, church, margin, when it comes to scheduling, is something that almost everybody in here today that we do not have. And I am convinced that the best things in life happens within the margins of life. You say, Chad, show me an example of that in Scripture. I'll show you a perfect example of that in Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, you find in verse 38, this is a story about two women who one had a little time margin and the other one did not, right? You're going to talk about Martha and Mary. This is what's going on with them right here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. Stop right there. Two women right here had the same exact opportunity. We've got Mary, we've got Martha, and we've got Jesus, who is the very Son of God, coming to the house. Mary, on one hand, created a moment. Mary created an opportunity. Mary could have said she had things to do. She could have said that she had laundry to do. She could have said that there was grocery shopping that had to be done. She could have said that there needs to be a little tidying up in the house. But she said, in this moment, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to embrace this moment that I've got, and I'm going to enjoy Jesus. Now, on the other hand, you've got old Martha, right? Martha, like many of us, she was distracted. She was wigging out. She could not enjoy the very presence of God Almighty because she was distracted. Not by something that was bad, not by something that was evil, not by something that was sinful. Rather, she was distracted by something that was actually pretty good. She's thinking, okay, Jesus is here in the house. Rumor is he's the very Son of the living God. I mean, he's God himself, God in the flesh. He's here. He's the Messiah. He's the one we've been looking for. And so she starts scurrying around the house trying to take care of everything that she thought she needed to take care of. She probably thought, I need to get the best china out, right? I need to get the fine silverware out. I need to make sure that I've got all the placemats out. I need to make sure I've got all the candles lit. I need to make sure there's flowers on the table. I mean, she did all of that trying to make sure that everything was just right. Folks, we've got to make sure that we do not trade in the best things because we want to substitute it for the better things, right? Or the good things. Let me say it a different way. We don't really need to get in a mindset to where we want to participate in the good things and miss out on the best things that God has for us in our life. What Martha was doing was good, but it wasn't the best thing. The best thing would be for her to enjoy the very presence of God Almighty. Can I just give you a newsflash here today? If God or if Satan can't make you really, really bad, you know what he wants to do? He wants to make you really, really busy. And if he can make you really, really busy, then he can end up making you really, really bad. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so you find here in this passage of Scripture that Martha was caught up in the things where she was doing the lesser things and she missed out on the important things and she was distracted from doing what she could have done to be the best thing. Not too long ago, actually a few years ago, Kylie, when she was a little smaller, I remember a day that she was playing a tea. She wanted me to sit down with her. She had a little tea set out and she said, Daddy, come on in. And so I went in there with her, and I had my iPad with me, and I was actually going over my notes for a sermon for the following week, and I was looking at that. I was sipping a little tea out of the little imaginary teacup thing and all that, and I would look at the iPad, and she would say, Daddy, would you look at what we're doing? We're getting ready to pour some more. I'm getting ready to make some more tea. And right at that moment when my mind was preoccupied with something else, I said, honey, Daddy's busy doing something else, doing something important. And about that time, God pierced my heart and said, you big idiot, it's not what you're doing for me to preach on a Sunday that's really important right now. It's what you need to be doing with your very child and spending time with her. And I started to trade out something that was actually a good thing instead of being part of the best thing at that moment. I mean, think about that, guys. Right in front of us a lot of times is the main thing. Put away that computer. Put away that magazine. Put away those thoughts in your mind where you're preoccupied with things of work and all this other stuff, and be a part of the best things that are right in front of you. Martha and Mary, they're in this situation. In verse 40, in the middle of this verse, Martha comes running to Jesus, and she asks, "Jesus, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me." There's something right here that I want you to notice, all right? Martha was absolutely convinced that what she was doing was absolutely the correct thing to be doing. And therein lies the problem that we have today in our society and in many of your lives that are sitting here today. Most of you are so convinced that the way you are living is necessary and right. You think, well, this is just the way I've got to live, Chad. Busyness, doesn't busyness equal success? I mean, isn't that the way we're supposed to live? Listen, what I'm going to talk to you about today is going to rock some of you to your very core. And most honestly, from my heart, many of you are just going to shake it off and think, well, it's no big deal. Some of you are going to say, yeah, that's kind of a good thing, something to think about, and maybe I should make some minor changes. Listen to me today. I'm not pushing for minor changes. We're not needing minor changes here today, because if minor changes would have really done the trick, then many of our lives would have changed a long time ago. I'm pushing for major changes. I'm talking about some radical life-changing decisions today. I am convinced with everything in me that the way most of us are living life is completely contrary to what God planned for us in our lives. I'm really a believer. Here's Martha. "Jesus, tell her to help me. I'm right. This is the way it should be." And Jesus is like, "No, Martha, your production mindset missed the moment." Luke chapter 10, verse 41. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Martha has chosen what is better," he says, "or Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Can I just say something to you? Give people you love more time and less things. Amen. Amen. Give people you love. Listen to me. Give people you love more of yourself and your time than things. Hey, Daddy, listen to me. You giving your kid an iPod is no substitute for the lack of time that you've not been spending with them. I mean, I'm just telling you, we want to buy things and we want to make up for it and all that. And your kids and your spouses are just begging for more time with you. Well, what happens, Chad, when it comes to scheduling margin, when it decreases in my life, when I don't have enough time? What happens? Number one, write this down. When margin decreases, your stress increases. I'm not really going to elaborate on that today, because I think that's a dumb moment, right? I think that's like, okay, when your margin decreases, your stress increases. It's a fact. Number two, write this down. As your margin decreases, your relational intimacy also decreases. Or when your margin is increasing, then your relational intimacy will also increase. Either way you want to look at it. Those of you that are busy, you're frustrated, you're challenged, your mind rarely disengages from the things that you're thinking about all the time. You can be with somebody but not be with them. I mean, I'm just being straight. You can be present with somebody but not all present. I mean, I've done it a million times. I've walked in and somebody be talking to me about something and my mind is a million other places, and at the end of the conversation, I'm looking at them, I'm smiling at them, I'm nodding my head at them, but I really don't really register what they're saying. And that happens with my wife a lot, right? I mean, she's like, Chad. But she has a certain special way of getting my attention that other people don't. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but that doesn't happen all the time. You can be present, but not all present. Your mind can still be running Listen, you can be on vacation and not really be there. I mean, I'm just telling you, a lot of us, we don't even know what rest is. I mean, I go on vacation to rest a lot of times, and I'm looking for a place to go bungee jump and get a ski-doo and parasail and all this other stuff. You ever do that? You go on vacation and you run. I mean, the worst vacation for you to go on to rest is Disney World, right? I mean, you get in there and it's daylight to dark. You're running. I mean, people smell. People are in line or, you know, frustrated, and you're just stressed out by the time you get in. You need a vacation from that vacation, right? And then, see, I know other people, say you've got a six-day vacation. Let's just use our imagination, right? And for the first 3 days, you're just trying to unwind and to enjoy yourself, right? I mean, you're just trying to relax. It takes you 3 days, man, to relax. And by the time you get relaxed, some of you start thinking about, in three more days, I've got to go back to work. And you work yourself up thinking about going back to work, and so you really don't enjoy your vacation. I mean, that's way anybody in here do that. Don't lie. My father-in-law needs to have his hand up. He's done that. I mean, I remember on the weekend we'd go to the house, and he'd be pacing around the floor because he had to go back to work on Monday morning, and it'd be like Friday afternoon, and you're like, man, just enjoy your time. I mean, there's other people, man. Listen, moms, I hear you sometimes. You say, I don't have time for myself, and if I did something for me, I would feel incredibly guilty. How many of you mamas have said that? That is insane today. It's insane. Men are like, well, I've got to make more. I've got to conquer more. I've got to achieve more. I want to provide my family with these things so we can have a better lifestyle. Men, have you ever said that? Raise your hand. I mean, many of you guys have. It is nutso of how we're trying to live our life, and our relational intimacy doesn't just decrease with other people in this life, but it also decreases with God Himself. I can't tell you how many times I've run into people and say, hey, I haven't seen you in church in a long time. And they say, well, I used to come, but I just got, somebody said it, busy. Oh, really? Too busy for God? Too busy to gather with fellow believers? Too busy to see somebody come to know Jesus? Too busy to see these precious people get baptized and go public with their faith? Too busy to pray with somebody in need? Too busy to come and lay your burdens at the altar to give them up to God and have other people pray over you? You're too busy? Listen, if you're too busy for the things of God, you are too busy. You're too busy. And I can't tell you how many times you say, well, Chad, why are so many of us living marginless lives? Why are so many of us planning on slowing down one day, but we rarely ever do that? Why are so many of us planning on cutting back on our schedules to spend time with our children, with our family, and all that? Why is it that so many of us are so sick today? I'll tell you why. And it's one word, and it's filling our lives with many things that do not matter. What is it, Chad? Tell me. It is idolatry. It's idolatry. Got to have the bigger house. Maybe it'll help our marriage. I mean, we got to have a nicer car. It'll make me feel good about myself. Got to be at that meeting so they'll think well of me. Got to have my kids involved in all the activities and all the opportunities. But God forbid that we invest in them spiritually. But we certainly don't want to try to miss out on a scholarship for them. And so we'll run daylight to dark. We'll have them out 4 or 5 nights a week trying to just keep them busy. And we're just busy. And we're busy. And they end up not liking the schedules that we've imposed on them, and they become stressed, and then we become stressed ourselves. And it leads to the downfall of relationships. Church, it's idolatry in its purest form. It's insane. It's killing our families. It's not what God intended. You say, well, okay, Chad, you say the problem, how do we fix it? Write this down. Some correct ways to increase our margin in our life. I mean, write this. I mean, this will help you. Number one, not going to spend a lot of time here because I've been dealing with it the last couple weeks. Develop a great attitude. Philippians 2:5 says, have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's the big deal there? Listen, Jesus was all the time doing what he was supposed to be doing, right? I mean, he's always healing people, touching people and all that, but you never really see him stressed. Because he had his priorities straight. They were in line. Number two, this is a duh moment. Start earlier. start earlier. Instead of using speed to catch up, start earlier. I mean, if you have 30 minutes to get someplace, get at it at an earlier time. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:27, the precious possession of a man is diligence. That word diligence comes from a word that's daily. We get our word daily from, and then you get another word out of that, which means daylight. The Bible's instructing us in Proverbs 12:27 how important it is if we're going to build margins in life to start earlier. Matter of fact, back in the day in biblical times, these merchants would have to get up daily at daylight to get to the marketplace so they would get the best spot at the market and they would sell more goods because they had the prime location. And they just did not do it at daylight. They did it daily at daylight. And because of that, they were blessed. Develop an ability to be diligent with your life. I mean, in your quiet time. I mean, whatever it takes. Start going to places earlier. Start planning earlier. Start earlier in whatever it is that you may do. You say, well, give me some scripture to back that up. For Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most, here it is, of your time. Because the days are evil. In reality, most of us would love to have more time to invest in these important areas of our life. But I'm just going to be real with you. Truth of the matter is, if God could just go poof, I'm giving you an extra hour, 25 hours in a day. Many of us in this place today would still have a problem managing our schedules and putting what's important in the priority spot in life. Culture has just a way of overwhelming us, does it not? Can anybody agree with me? It's a society we live in that drives us to this place. I mean, I left my cell phone back here in a little cubbyhole where I get my microphone every Sunday morning. But usually it's in my pocket. I'm married to that sucker, right? I mean, everywhere I go, everybody, I mean, it's just like ring, 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 instant communication. I called up Verizon Friday. I said, I want a dumb phone. They said, excuse me? I said, yeah, I want a dumb phone. I don't want a smartphone anymore. They said, why? I said, because I'm too accessible. I mean, it's like you're just always on the go, and you get frayed out. I mean, you need some time where you will come apart, or you will come apart, right? I mean, you need that. Romans chapter 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What's that talking about? To the pull of this culture, be different. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way you think. Don't be like everybody else. The Bible says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And when you do that, people are going to say, that's weird, dude. That's so weird. You know how many people would think I would be crazy if I went back to the old school flip phone? Right? I mean, you know how many people would make fun of me if they saw me, but I don't have the internet at my hand. I don't have access to Facebook and Instagram and all this other Twitter stuff and all that stuff. I mean, it drives me ragged half the time. You know how many people would think I'm weird? Hey, you know what? Why are we trying to conform to what the world thinks we should be conforming to? I mean, come on. You know what I do on my Facebook account every week? Some of you guys think I blocked you. Right? I didn't block you. I deactivate my account usually Monday morning, and I deactivate it all the way till Saturday. Why do you even have a Facebook account to promote church? And every now and then I'll post something for my family. We went to a school dance the other night, and we had a good time, and I posted a few pictures for family and other people to see, and that was good, but I don't get on there during the week. Why? Because it sucks the life out of me. Amen. I'm just being honest. Some of you guys like to negatively surf your life away. I don't. And so I deactivate it. And the reason, it gives me more peace during the week to focus and to pray and to be with my family. I mean, it's literally consuming me. The stuff that I was seeing, it burdened me as a pastor. And I was thinking, you know, 20 years ago, I didn't see all this stuff. And now it's there. Some of you guys need to take a few pages out of what I'm saying today and make it applicable to your life. It'd help your marriages, it'd help your parenting skills, it'd help other things in your life along the way. You say, well, Chad, that's normal. Well, you want the same thing that the world's producing? What's normal in marriages? Divorce? What's normal with kids? Rebellion? What's normal in life? Stress, anxiety, fear, depression? I don't want to be normal. I'd like to be weird. What's normal relationally? Emptiness? What's normal with our schedules? I'll tell you, overwhelmed, overworked, frenzied, stressed, miserable, busy, and yet still feeling like we're empty. That's normal. You know, when I walk up to somebody and say, hey, bro, how's it going? How you been doing, man? Good to see you. What's up? How's it going in your life? You know what the number one response I get back is? Busy, bro. I've been busy. I've never walked up to anybody and say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Oh, man, I don't have much going on. You'd be like, you're a loser, right? I mean, you're lazy. You know what I mean? What in the world? There are so many people today that think busyness equals success. Busyness does not equal productivity. There are so many people busy doing useless things today. Busyness does not equal importance. Busyness does not equal meaning. If I said to you, hey, let's go do such and such next Saturday, you know what most of us would do? Chances are we'd say, hey, let me look at my schedule and see if I'm free. And if I'm free, then yeah. Or some of us would say, is it good that I do this or is it bad I do this? I wouldn't even ask that. Because, see, most of us say, well, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. So if it's not necessarily bad, then it must be good and I'll go ahead and do it. No. See, I think you need to ask yourself this. I think you need to say, when somebody asks you to do something or an opportunity comes up, and maybe this is in your bulletin notes. I can't remember if I put it in there or not. But you need to ask yourself this question. Is it wise? In light of blank, is it wise for me to do this? You say, give me some examples. In light of our future hopes and dreams, is it wise that we take this on? In light of the fact that our marriage is not where God wants it to be, is it wise that we do this? Is it wise? In light of the fact that we have two children in diapers right now, is it wise that we do this? In light of the fact that we have a 17-year-old living under our roof for about one more year, is it wise that we take this on? I mean, think in those terms. In light of the fact that life is precious and short and every day is a gift from God, is it wise that we invest our time in this? Not is it right, not is it wrong, not can we do it, but is it wise? Whoa. Is that biblical, Chad? I just read it to you in Ephesians. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. In light of this, is it wise that we do these things? Is it? We must learn to have the courage and the faith to say no to many good things, church, so we can say yes to the best things. Let me talk to you about this. I can see some of you checked out on me. Let's talk about fillers and drainers. Fillers and drainers. Each of us has an emotional reservoir. Now listen, my brother's the artist, not me, right? Let's say this is a bucket. Use your divine imagination. And let's say this water level represents your joy. And let's say that, in all honesty, every bucket has a spout or every bucket has a hole. Follow me. In order for us, and maybe I should have drew this blue. Let's say that this is indicative of the life we have. We need our joy to stay level. We need our joy level to be up. We don't need our joy to run dry. Every one of us, listen to me, every one of us has things that drain the joy out of our buckets, and every one of us have things that we call fillers to fill our bucket. You say, well, break this down to where I can understand it. What drains your tank, Chad? Excessive counseling? I mean, listen, if you got problems, you probably really don't need to talk to me a bunch about it. Because, listen, I'm telling you, I'm not gifted to do that. I'm not really even trained to do that. I can pray for you, I can love you, and I can encourage you. Matter of fact, the best two counselors we've ever had here at his house were Spence and Tony. I'm just not gifted in that area. Like sometimes I hear these things come in. It's not that I don't care, but it's like I want to go beat my head up against the concrete wall. Like it is so much because all I hear is negative, 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 negative. That's another thing that drains my tank. Is like when I hear negative people around me all the time. You ever see me like come up to you and shake your hand and say, "Man, good to see you." I mean, I'm genuine there. And I'm also genuine when I turn and walk away real fast if you start spilling your guts out and being just throwing up all over me, right? You're not supposed to say that stuff, Pastor Chad. I'm just being real. How many of you guys are the same way? Don't lie to me. Don't lie. God knows your heart. God knows it drains me, man. It ain't with church people necessarily. It could be like I would be better served to go to Murray Walmart or Benton Walmart today to get my milk and bread and eggs for the snow coming, right? Than to go to Mayfield Walmart because it'll take me three times longer to be in there and people just walk up and they're just like, bleh. I mean, it drains me. I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, anytime I'm hanging around a complainer, a nag, 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 just negative, negative, negative. It's just a down in the dumps. I mean, a Debbie Downer off Saturday Night Live on steroids. Mayfield is full of them, right? I'm telling you, it's like crazy. It drains my tank. I mean, feeling useless, it drains my tank. When I'm in a meeting and I don't feel like we're pushing and we're going anywhere and we're just meeting the meat, it drives me literally insane. I'll tell you something else that drains my tank. Preaching funerals. Preaching funerals. You say, you're a heretic preacher. I'm just being real with you. Do you know how difficult it is? I mean, I'm rejoicing that these people that have passed on, especially if they were suffering, if they knew Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I rejoice because they're in a better place. But my heart breaks for those families. And in hospital visits, I love going and making hospital visits. You can ask my assistant, Diane. I love seeing people, but I don't like seeing them in the shape they're in when I go to see them. I don't like seeing all these tubes in their body and these shots having to be injected into their system. I don't like seeing them down and out. I don't like that. And then when I have hospital calls and I have funerals to officiate, it brings me down. And then I have to step right into another hospital call where somebody's having a baby and I'm supposed to walk in joyful and excited for them. It's like an emotional roller coaster for me. And it literally zaps the energy out of my life. Just hang on. Hang on. So, Chad, if that's what drains your tank, what fills your tank? Spending time with my family. You let me load up my wife and my two girls, and we go somewhere just driving around the vehicle, just hanging out, listening to Kennedy and Kylie fight in the backseat. Leandon, like, that's one of her drainers, right? But I just like having them with me, you know. I like going on vacation. I like spending time with them. It fills my tank. I love sports. I love football, basketball, baseball. There's nothing like being at a St. Louis Cardinals game, watching the Cardinals play. Man, there's nothing like that on a nice summer day. There's nothing like going to Rupp Arena, baby, and watching watching the Wildcats play. I mean, I get excited. That's like during this time of year. That's why in a few weeks, man, I'd love to be able to go to the Yum Center and to be able to watch the Cats play in the opening round in the NCAA tournament. Why? Because it fills my tank. I like going to the Final Four. See, some of you guys like deer hunting and things of that nature. That's fine and good, but that's what fills my tank. I mean, this year, the Final Four is on Easter weekend. I've got a major dilemma, right? I mean, I've been sitting around trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I mean, I know the ball games are on Saturday night for the Final Four, and I thought, God, just send somebody who's got an airplane, right? I mean, that can just fly me up and fly me back. I mean, I'm kidding. Not really. But, I mean, seriously, I'm just like, God, help me out. I mean, the championship game will be on Monday night. I'll preach Easter Sunday on Friday night and then two on Sunday morning. Then, man, I can get up to Indianapolis. I mean, and some of you are going, like, if they even make it, right? That'd be my luck, right? They wouldn't make it. But it fills my tank. You know what else I like? I like getting out riding on a four-wheeler in the woods and doing things like that with my buddies. I like being out in nature and just enjoying what God's created. I love speaking and preaching and casting vision and challenging our staff to go on and to reach more people for the cause of Christ. That's the kind of stuff that fills my tank. That's what fills my tank. You say, well, Chad, why don't you just take away all the negative things? You can sometimes, but other times you can't because it's your responsibility and you have to work through it. So what do you need to do? You just need to make sure that more is going in than what's coming out. Does this make sense? I mean, you just need to make sure that you got more going in than what's draining out. Because some things are inevitable. Some things are unavoidable. There will be times in your life where there will be a drain. Chad, why don't you just cut out the drain? Why don't you just cut out the things that are exiting your life? See, that's the problem with our society. We love to do that. We love to bail out of relationships. Or we love to bail out of marriages. We love to bail out of churches. We love to bail out of financial things. We love to bail out of just about everything. And when you bail out of the things that drain your tank, say you're in a bad marriage right now and it's just draining you, you say, well, maybe I'm just going to get rid of that. No. You need to make sure you're putting more into it than what you got coming out. And then your joy level will be where it needs to be in your relationship. See, some of you guys are looking on the other side of the fence in somebody else's yard, and the grass looks real green. But what you got to understand is if you'll just water your yard and you'll fertilize your yard, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's just a thought. You can bail out of these things that drain your tank. Right, see, what I would do if I was you, I would list out these things in your bulletin. I would list out the things that fill your tank and that drain. Identify them. Know what they are. And be able to deal with it. Because see, here's the deal. If you bail out of the things that drain your tank and you just get rid of it, it may bring you temporary relief. But you'll lose your character. You'll lose your responsibility. And you'll lose your reputation along the way if all you do is just cut out the things that drain from your life. There are two things that are important in your relationship with God. And as soon as that margin is squeezed out of your life, these are usually the first two things that go. Number one, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, is your intimate time with God. I dealt with it a couple weeks ago. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Man, when you put Him first, and you've got some margin in your life, and you're spending, that is the very first thing that goes in most of our lives. I mean, it is. We get busy. We forget about God. He's the first one to go. And yet, He's the very one who can take care of all the other stuff that you're trying to manage. Number two, write this down. Intentional times of rest. You know what we need to have today? We need to have a come to Jesus meeting. You say, what's that? Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, come to me. That's not Chad Lamb. It's not Tony Adams, not Dustin McLean, not Kyle Howard, not the rest of our staff, not the Pope, not Billy Graham, not the president, not the governor, not the mayor, not your counselor, not your spouse. He says, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, come to me, all you who are stressed out and overwhelmed and can't get it done. Come to me, single parents who are about to fall apart. Come to me, business guy who feels like you're going to lose it all. Come to me, mom who has no margin for herself. Come to me, those who are overwhelmed and feel insignificant. Jesus said, come to me. And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Peace, assurance, tranquility, rest for your souls. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Give him 5 minutes just where you don't think about anything else. In the summertime, I like to go to a little pond when the field's not full of crops in the back where our yard, behind our house. And I like going back there and just sitting on this log that's laid over. And I'll just sit there and just meditate. No cell phone, no iPad, nothing there to distract me. And I love to just meditate upon what God's speaking to me at that moment. Just give him 5 minutes. It'll revolutionize your life. Listen, one last scripture, Isaiah 58:11. The Lord will always guide you. He will always satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. But it's got to be with God. How many of you guys, just honestly, before everybody in here, you're struggling with this issue right here? Raise your hand. You're struggling. Be honest. You know why I'm spending more time on this one? It's because I struggle with this area more than most other parts of my life. I'm that guy that goes on vacation and can't rest. I'm that guy usually that takes the first 3 days to unwind, and when I do, I turn around and start thinking about, in 3 more days, I'm fixing to go back. Either I believe this stuff I preach or I don't. And we've all got areas that we need to work on. And I'm convinced today that if many of you guys would identify this in your life and you would look at what you're putting in your bucket more than what's coming out of your bucket, then our joy level has nowhere to go but up. Our satisfaction level, our peace, our rest, our tranquility will be higher than it's ever been before. But we can't do it by ourselves. We've got to have Jesus in order for us to accomplish that. Why don't you come to him today? Why don't you come and find rest for your weary soul in him? Why don't you find that peace and that love and that tranquility that you've been looking for? Hey, guys, listen to me. When it comes to church, his house, you want to see a mighty move of God take place in this place? Don't be focused on what kind of marketing campaign we can have. Don't focus on how many billboards and mail outs and all that stuff we can send out. Don't even get caught up in how many programs we can have in kids for kids ministry and children's or teenagers for youth ministry and things of that nature. If more of us in here would have a genuine relationship to the degree that where we spend some intimate quality time with God Almighty, the doors would be blowed off this place. It would. Father, I pray that you would just...